Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In 2005, two brothers hit the road to chase demons and fight monsters. You know, like you do. After 15 years, they made television history and built a community of dedicated and lasting fans.
Sure did.
I'm Rob Benedict, and I played God, a.k.a. Chuck Shirley.
Yeah, you are, and yeah, you did. And I'm Richard Spate Jr., and I played the Archangel Gabriel, a.k.a. the Trickster, a.k.a. Loki. I also had the privilege of directing a bunch of episodes of the show.
Have a few more a.k.a.s, why don't you? Jeez.
A.k.a. you're a jerk.
Though we've been involved with the series for years and multiple seasons, we never sat down and watched the entire show.
Oh, that's not true anymore. Now we're deep into it. We are going episode by episode and diving in with the folks who made it to bring you an insider's point of view and some great behind-the-scenes stories from the writers, producers, crew, and actors. And you're getting our pure, honest, unfettered reviews.
And along the road, let me tell you, we're becoming fans.
Buddy, we are super fans.
We've heard you saying it for years, and we finally get what all the excitement's about. This show holds up after all this time and deserves to be watched and rewatched.
We will be hitting on some spoilers, so consider yourself warned. And if you have any angry emails you want to send, please direct them to Babo.
Thank you for joining our journey and listening to Supernatural then and now. Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Benedict.
And I'm not speaking to Rob Benedict.
And that's Richard Spate Jr., and this is Season 4, Episode 13, After School Special.
Is it? Because I wouldn't know, because I'm not speaking to Rob Benedict.
Hey, everybody. This summary and review are being recorded in front of a live virtual studio audience. They're not really in a studio, but they are live and they are virtual. That's right. We're live streaming today for our Patreon members.
That's right. We sure are, person. And we're excited to be doing this on this day, 2 weeks after we watched the episode.
That's right. And what's interesting is that it's called After School Special. And in the vein of after school specials, we have a real life after school special thing happening where Rich isn't talking to me because he's angry because I bullied him.
But that's act one of the after school special. We realize in act two of the after school special, the reason why Richard isn't talking to person to be named later is because person to be named later, Rob Benedict, has a drug problem. And
wait,
now it becomes an intervention because Robbie's got a secret. And that's the episode title of this after school special. Robbie's got a secret. And the secret is drugs. And now the secret's out.
In act three, it turns out that Rich was the bully the whole time.
And Rob's my father.
We're excited. We're back. Haven't you missed us? We're back. We're doing what we do best.
I certainly hope this is not what we do best.
Well, I can't think of
anything.
Gotta
be something
else.
We do better.
Well, should I go ahead and recite the summary from memory?
Yeah, do the thing where you like literally without a note anywhere nearby, summarize the episode.
Okay. A girl is killed at Truman High School when she calls another girl fat and ugly. The attacker claims she was possessed at the time. Sam and Dean are there to investigate. Dean is doubtful that there even is a case, since the girl claiming to be possessed didn't see black smoke or smell sulfur, the key indicators of possession. Coincidentally, the brothers attended Truman High School for a month back in 1997 while John was on a job in the area.
Huh.
Yeah. How about that for a quinkadink?
That's so bizarre.
In a flashback, we seen a young Sam and Dean arriving at the third high school so far this academic year, and it's only November. In English class, Sam defends a bookish kid, Barry Cook, from the school bully, Dirk McGregor. The class gets assigned an essay on their—
Aren't bullies always named Dirk?
I think they are.
I mean, I feel like that is bully 101. If you want your kid to be a bully, name him Dirk. Apologies to all the Dirks out there who aren't bullies. I'm just saying.
I was thinking Dirk McGregor is your porn name.
Because you're thinking Dirk Diggler. Because you're thinking Boogie Nights. That's copyright infringement. That's plagiarism. And you're guilty of it. And you're arrested.
And that's the opposite of a yes and, everybody.
You know what? I'll tell you what right now. This is why SAG, struck against people like you and your AI stealing BS.
This is why Mitch doesn't do improv. Okay.
You're not AI, you're a-hole.
The class gets assigned an essay on their most memorable family experience. Meanwhile, Dean is in his class and makes a connection with the classic blonde, Amanda Heckerling.
Ooh.
The classic blonde.
Yeah, man.
Back in the present day, the brothers have gone undercover to investigate what is happening at the school. Sam is a janitor. Dean sports a red headband and matching tight red gym shorts, posing as the PE class's substitute teacher. They aren't finding any evidence of the supernatural, but soon later, a kid stuffs the hand of an overbearing jock into a running food processor. The jock was harassing the kid to copy his homework. The kid doesn't have any memory of blending. The kid doesn't have any memory of blending the jock's hand. Sam gets to the scene of... Wasn't Jock's Hand the name of your band in high school? Sam gets to the scene of the crime and witnesses ectoplasm dripping out of the ear of the assailant. I hate it when that happens.
Ew.
Sam realizes they are dealing with a ghost possession.
Ah.
The brothers discover that the only violent death on campus was the 1998 suicide of Barry Cook, the kid young Sam defended. Dean wonders if the ghost is possessing nerds to attack bullies. Mm-hmm. In a flashback, Sam recalls an incident where Dirk stopped Barry and Sam in the hallway to try and start a fight.
Yeah, he did.
Though he gets punched in the face, young Sam refuses to engage.
Disengage.
Elsewhere, Dean makes out with Amanda.
Of course he does, while Sammy's actually working for a living.
Exactly. In the present, Sam and Dean salt and burn Barry's bones. Sam recalls a conversation with his English teacher who questions young Sam's essay about the Winchesters hunting a werewolf together and inquires if young Sam wants to be in the family business. Young Sam replies no.
What? Oh, man.
Sam goes to visit this teacher in the present day but is attacked by a student.
Ah.
Sam forces a ghost out of the body with salt.
Mm.
Dean makes the connection that all the possessed students rode the same bus to school. They go investigate the bus and discover that the father of Dirk, the young bully that tormented young Sam, is currently one of the bus drivers. Young Dirk had a pretty rough childhood after watching his mother die of cancer. Later, Sam and Dean must track down the bus, which is taking a sports team on a trip. Dirk's father keeps a Bible on the bus, which has a lock of Dirk's hair, Dirk's last remains. The brothers get there and battle Dirk's ghost as he possesses the bus driver and a student. They finally burn the lock of hair. In a final flashback, we see students congratulating young Sam, who stood up to the young bully Dirk. Young Dean gets caught making out with a different girl. Amanda says she feels sorry for him, that he has to act tough. Back in the present day, Sam finally catches up with his old English teacher, who remembers Sam, and asks him if he's happy. Sam can't answer.
Oh, man.
Ominous end.
Hey, wait, how did Dirk die?
How did Dirk die?
Dirk died.
Overdose. Drugs. Drug overdose.
No, that's your episode of the F School Special.
Well,
how did he die?
That was foreshadowing when you said I had a drug problem. It was actually Dirk this whole time that had the drug
problem. Does he really die of drugs?
Yes.
Where is that in your?
It's I'm summary. Getting notes from the people that are in our live stream.
All right. Okay. So
you were very quiet during that entire thing, which makes me think you really liked the episode because you were really taken away by it.
Well, it was also handy to listen to the summary to remember what the hell the episode was just a couple weeks ago.
It's a classic. It's a classic episode. Look, if there's ever an episode where fans cosplay the episode, they talk about the episode, the scene is played time and time again. It's Dean as the coach in the coach garb. Hilarious scene.
Right.
He hits the kid with the ball.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's iconic.
It is, yeah. And Jensen and the ensemble.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm getting from the chatter here that there are fanfics written about it. Yeah, it's a classic scene. And it was fun for me, as someone who's never seen this episode, to finally see the episode that outfit comes from.
Yeah. It was neat to see exactly the origin of that whole, over the top thing.
There's a line where Dean says, "The whistle makes me their god," which is funny.
Did you just read that in the chat?
Yeah, man. I'm getting lots of information from the chat.
That's good. That's good. That's good. I thought maybe you remembered it. I'm just trying to figure out where you are.
I'm right here with you, man.
In the memory of it all. I'm right. Lock eyes with me, Richie. I'm right here, baby.
Just keep talking.
Okay. So
Yeah.
So let's talk about this episode because a lot of it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to see them back in time. And
I always love that, man. I think and Colin Ford is great as young Sam.
And Brock Kelly looks
exactly
like
Jensen. And Brock Kelly's great as Dean. And I think I just love, it always gets me watching the kids struggle through the life that they had that we see occasionally in these episodes when they're, you know, either shacked up at some motel on a holiday or in this case, struggling to be at a new school.
Yeah.
And what that would really look like, and it ain't all wine and roses, and I just think it's what elevates the show is sort of showing those really heartfelt origin stories of the boys alone trying to fend for themselves and being forced to grow up faster than they should and all that stuff.
And I'm a sucker for a good origin story, so anytime we get sort of the background of what has made Sam and Dean Sam and Dean, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny how much taller Brock Kelly is to Colin Ford in this episode.
Yeah. But that's actually one of the things I like about that is having kids of my own. That's really like the gap between a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old is 2 feet.
Absolutely.
It's massive.
Yeah. And it is completely possible that someone like Sam would have had a growth spurt in high school and then shot above.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad. It's a sad episode.
It's really sad, man. Dirk's dad, when they interview him, it's just Sam's discovery as an adult of what was really going on, which is, you know, happened to all of us. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that during that time when that kid was a jerk, his parents were divorcing or whatever. You figured out later when you're an adult.
Yeah.
And I think that had a really cool effect on the episode, I thought, because you see Sam come to this sort of realization that Dirk wasn't innately born a bad kid. He was a product of circumstances and emotions and everything else, just like he was. So I'm like, you know, in many ways, Dirk and Sam and Dean had a lot in common in that they were just sort of, they had these situations. They both lost a mom.
Yes.
And dealt with, you know, a dad who was doing their best, what they thought was best to handle it, but maybe it wasn't. Anyway, I thought there's a lot of that was really layered and fascinating and touching.
Yeah, I agree. And it highlights the fact that Sam is so conflicted about his family obligation and, you know, what he could have been, and the fact that he's a great writer and that the teacher acknowledges he's such a great writer. And I find that the Sam character incredibly just touching, and that there's so much conflict there within him that he struggles so much.
Yeah. And I actually thought that the Brock Kelly storyline of like hooking up with one girl and then hooking up with a different girl was fascinating because it showed sort of a pattern of self-sabotage, you know, like he's going to go meet the parents. It's like, there's a sort of grounded reality that's going on in that storyline that he just has to blow up.
Yeah. And like the young Dean that she says, when the girl catches him making out with the other girl and she's like, I feel sorry for you. That's a blow.
Yeah. And that's true. I'm sure like there's a lot to be, while we're spending that episode feeling bad for Sam getting beaten up, Sam getting bullied, Sam navigating, not wanting to be part of the family business. Meanwhile, it's easy to ignore the older brother who was sort of anointed by dad to be the, you know, de facto dad in his absence, but that's a shitty assignment for a kid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And here he is trying to be a father to Sam while also needing a father himself and sort of navigating relationships in that pivotal time when puberty window. And I don't know, man, I thought it was really well handled and well done.
We see that Dean hasn't changed at all. You know, he's still kind of,
I know. And it would have been easy to make that kind of a joke. And I like that they played it seriously. Like, the girl going, I feel bad for you. And you're like, yeah, you do. You do feel bad for him. And she's right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the unpopular thing I'm going to say. It's going to lead to a lot of angry emails in your inbox.
Ruh-roh.
But one of the things that bumped for me in the episode, and this is just maybe a fault of TV or whatever and the time frame that you have to tell a story, but whenever they're able to infiltrate a place super easily, like poof, they're now on staff, it bumps for me.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that suddenly he's a janitor, he's a PE coach. I get the PE coach bit was hilarious, and the costume was funny, and it's etched in the hearts and minds of fans everywhere.
Sure.
But the getting there part was a bit, in an episode that wasn't over the top, it wasn't changing channels, it wasn't something meant to be grand in comedic nature, that
leap to me was a bit of a, okay. It is, you know, getting, again, once you're there, I mean, once Dean's there, that seems awesome.
Hey, it's no changing channels. It's no changing channels.
Nobody's... It's no changing channels. But you know what I'm saying, man, that you're immediately able to, it's not an episode built on a fantasy. It's an episode built on an actual grounded reality and flashback. Right, right. And I felt like...
And we're supposed to believe that he applied for the job.
It's just so quick. I mean, like, they're like, we need to figure out what's going on in the school. Cut to, they're now fully vetted staff members.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just you know, a small detail.
Yeah.
Again, it's a small complaint.
I guess I agree with you, but I it didn't bump for me when I was watching it because at this point in season four, we've seen them pose as... you know, FBI agents time and time again, and nobody really questions.
And sometimes that bump, you know, the difference with the FBI agent is they usually can walk up and just be and just lie and go, hey, I'm, you know, Benedict Spake, you know, we're in, which is a far-fetched thing anyway. But they're not having to go to the Federal Bureau of Investigations and, you know, get their badges. Like when you're working at the school, the leap is you've gone in, you've met the principal, you've been handed the PE coach's outfit, and now you're teaching a class.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's like when you, you're watching a TV show and you have to sort of like take that leap from reality a little bit. But if you realize that you're taking that leap, then that's a bump. I get it.
Small bump.
I see someone in the chat saying, well, that's Chuck's bad writing. And I just want to say, I see you. And I take offense.
You agree? Is this a Rob Benedict issue?
No, it's not a Rob Benedict issue. It's Chuck, the character I played on Supernatural.
Okay.
You don't know
but
that
in fairness,
yet.
But sometimes when people go, I don't like Chuck, you take it personally. So it's like the line between Chuck and Rob is very thin.
You don't know me. You think you know me and you don't. You know? I do think it's a great episode within the canon and
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give it, it's beard time, everybody.
Beard o'clock.
And I'm gonna give it the Kenny Loggins. I'm gonna give it classic Kenny Loggins. Again, I think anytime that where an episode makes an impact enough that you reference the episode, you quote the episode, you're dressing like a character in the episode, it did something right.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put it up wrong.
With the best of the Loggins.
I'm not going to give it a Stapleton. For the reasons I already named, I'm going to give it a solid review. It's a great review. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of this review. I think you are too.
Okay.
But I'm not going to, it's not going to go Stapleton.
Okay. What's it going to be? You got to pick a beard.
I'll tell you what it's not going to be. It's not going to be Stapleton.
Okay. Well, pick a beard.
I mean, Stapleton.
There are other beards.
There are, but not on Stapleton's chin. I'm giving it a Kenny Rogers, which is a solid review, dude. Kenny Rogers is like, most shows would kill for a Kenny Rogers.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Kenny Rogers is one of the classic beards of all time.
Yeah. So Kenny Rogers.
Someone just said in our chat, it's a two Kenny episode. And that's true.
That's true.
So true. It's rare that Rich and I can come together and agree on something. And we agreed that there's a Kenny in our beard.
Correct. Correct.
What'd you have for dinner? There's a Kenny in your beard. Oh, sorry.
Yes, man, it was a classic for all the reasons we named.
Yeah. Well, when you listen to this live, you're going to hear that next up is our interview with Colin Ford, who's just a terrific guy. We had a great interview, and he's a fantastic guy. He's been acting since he was four. He's appeared in Supernatural for six episodes. In 2010, he won Young Artist Award for his portrayal of Sam Winchester. You can also see him in TV shows such as Under the Dome, Daybreak, 50 States of Fright, and most recently, Walker. You can see him in such films as The Hill, Extracurricular Activities, and We Bought a Zoo. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Colin Ford.
Dude, thanks for being a part of this.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here, man. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're a lot older now.
I know. Well, you know, I had a beard this morning and then I shaved because I was like, well, maybe nobody will recognize me if I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. You've gotten older and Rob and I are the same age. I don't know how that works.
That's awesome. Yeah. I need your guys' routine.
Colin, how old were you when you did Supernatural for the first time?
So my very first one was a very Supernatural Christmas and I want to say 9 or 10 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you are?
I'm 20. I just turned 27.
Wow. 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 And how tall are you now?
I'm about 6 feet, 5'11", 6 feet.
Okay. You know? All right. Wow.
So, I got to say, like, first of all, you crushed it in the episode. You're so good in this role.
Yeah.
Every time you play Sam, like, you're the quintessential kid playing Sam. It's awesome. Oh,
thank you, man. Thank you. It was a joy.
You bring a real maturity to the role, and I want to talk about it. But I will say, I was super freaked out. So, I also direct on Walker.
Oh, nice. Right?
So, I was watching Walker. I was getting backstory on the episode about to direct, and so they're showing me dailies, and poof, there you are as young Walker. And I'm like,
yeah.
What the? I mean, it's perfect casting, but it also just, I'm like, who gets to play the same guy? Like, you're the young version of the same actor in two different shows. That's got to be a rarity.
It was a rarity. I remember where I was. I was in a hotel room in Las Vegas. My girlfriend was there on a company retreat, and I joined her. And Jared, I get like a random phone call from Jared, a text and phone call from Jared. And he's like, hey, man, first question he asked me, he's like, are you willing to cut your hair? And I was like, yeah, like, what is this about? And we got into the details more, but he, you know, said there's potentially an opportunity for you to come and play the younger version of me on Walker. Would you be interested in doing that? And, you know, read through the material and take a look at it. And I said, absolutely. Don't even have to read it, but I'm in. And you know, it happened so quickly. And then boom, we had a couple episodes under the belt, and it was great. I was back on set and working with Jared again and his new crew over at Walker. And it was awesome.
Wow, I think that's so cool. And I love that his opening comment isn't, hi, how's it going? How's life? It's like, willing to cut that hair? Like, do you have a camera in my room, bro? How do you know I have long hair?
How do you know I have long hair? Yeah. And so we did, we got it, but we had to keep that same, you know, Jared flow, you know, that same.
Yeah. Well, his toupee hasn't changed in years. He's got that same great piece of barely see the netting toupee.
That's right. Really good work.
That's awesome. Well,
do you recall your audition process for Sam Winchester?
You know, I don't. I do remember Robert Elrich's office. Is that
Yeah.
His office over there in Studio City. So I remember going over there and I think just reading. And I think maybe I didn't go back in and read again as I got older, or just stop by to show him what I look like as I was aging through the years.
Right.
But I don't necessarily remember the process, but I do remember all of my set experiences. It was coming to Vancouver. It was my first time in Vancouver. And I just remember staying at the Sutton Place Hotel and being on set with Jared and Jensen and them kind of showing me the ropes. I remember sitting in the hotel room and binge watching Supernatural at that age. And like I said, I was super young, so I would only watch it during the day because once it got dark, it kind of got too scary for me to continue watching. Then I got
and I dare say the phrase binge watching didn't exist back then. You'd say I watch a lot of episodes in a row.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, and it was all on the DVD box sets. You know, I had a DVD, portable DVD player that was smaller than my iPad now.
yeah. So was your mom with you or dad?
Yeah, my mother was with me. She came to set with me pretty much on everything I ever worked on growing up. And it was a great experience. It was, you know, growing up and doing this, it became kind of collaborative with my mom. It became something super fun that we got to do. And I kind of, now that I'm older and not doing it anymore, like we're traveling with my mother anymore, like whenever I go on a project, I always try to find a way to get her out there because it does feel sentimental in a way.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I was going to ask, awesome. What the difference is between acting as a child and acting as an adult. I'm sure that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think it's just the responsibility, like the roles increase. Like when you're a kid, you're always the child of somebody, or you're always, you know, just in the background, and you may have a couple scenes that are, you know, big moments, but it's really focused on other characters. And I think now as an adult, it's really nice to be able to step into my own and develop these characters and play like these leading roles as an adult. So that's been the biggest shift.
Yeah. Makes sense. And what's your earliest memory of like playing Sam Winchester, or having that knowledge of like, okay, I'm supposed to be that guy as a young version of him and kind of matching that. I mean, did you have that thought of like, I want to kind of match the way he is?
Yeah, absolutely. Playing Jared at a young age was super fun, and it really taught me how to like mimic mannerisms. And, you know, I really wanted to kind of bring Sam's essence to a younger age. I wanted them to look at me and understand that I was a different person, obviously, but the soul and the personality was very much still there. So I watched so many episodes, really just watching Jared and copying his mannerisms, seeing how frustration has landed on him, seeing how he dealt with conflict internally, and trying to bring that back out onto my performance.
That's great, man. How great to have that experience.
It's such a mature performance. I mean, like you watch what you do in the show. I sort of have this belief, especially because I have my own kids, but that kids are born with like a soul that is aged differently than who they are. Like you did not seem like a 10-year-old with a 10-year-old soul. You seem like an older soul. Like there's an internal age to you that comes out in the performance. It's really kind of critical to make it work, and it's awesome.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I did work really hard to try to create that, but like I said, I guess maybe I'm just an old soul, and when it comes down to it, so that's good.
So here's my question to you: so you're working with all these, obviously, a lot of young people in the scenes you're doing. How was that? How was a classroom full of kids? I mean, like, was it chaotic? Was it, were the other kids fun? How'd that all play out?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it was, I had my scenes with the gentleman who played Barry and the gentleman who played Dirk, the jerk.
Yeah.
And everybody else, it's a set and everybody's, pretty professional. And, like you said, there are kids, but they're cutting up and doing things like that. But you guys know the Supernatural set. Like you guys run a really great tight ship there. And you guys have some of the fastest turnarounds of any TV crew I've ever seen. And so it just felt really natural and really easy. But from my memory, it was really great just getting to hang out with the older version, older than me version of Dean, Brock Kelly.
He was on set,
and yeah. we became good buddies. I've developed like a friendship with Brock over the past 17 years.
That's awesome.
And so we've hung out a few times, and we've kept up with each other. He just had a baby like 2 years
ago. Oh, that's fantastic.
So yeah. So, been able to keep in touch with him, and haven't stayed in touch with too many of the folks that were local to the Vancouver area. But just the overall experience, like, it shaped me, and I was so fortunate to the writers and the crew on Supernatural for continuing to bring me back after that second episode that I had done.
It's awesome.
That's so cool, man. And it's a great episode for your character. It really is. It's not just like one scene in a flashback. It's like, it's a major part of the story.
Yeah.
And you do it so well. I was going to ask about Brock Kelly. That's really great to hear that you guys have kept in touch.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a solid dude. We don't talk too much on a regular basis, but
right.
I've seen each other over the years, gone to some events together, and we've had some a lot of Supernatural common ground, a lot of messages people will share between us or tweet at us, or
That. That'd be hilarious, like seeing you guys walk down the street and be like, it's young Sam and Dean.
Yeah, we could do a little me and Brock, and then cut to Jared and Jensen.
Yeah,
I know.
Richard and I get a lot of, hey, it's the old Chuck and Trickster.
Hey, are you guys, I thought you were dead. We get a lot of that.
Well, it's funny because I have just been binging over the past 2 years, getting caught up on all the seasons that I never finished. I'm on season 15, episode 8 or 9, something like that. So I only have like 10 or 12 episodes left. So I'm dying to see how it ends up.
Wow. Yeah,
Rob and I are moving through it like molasses. Like literally, what is this, episode 4, whatever? Like we're doing this in real time. I turned on the episode to watch to prepare for the interview. I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Kelly. And, oh, okay. Like I've known Brock before from convention, but I didn't know him in the show. So there you go.
Yeah. Also, we got waylaid because of the strike. So we're just getting back into it. I'm excited.
Totally.
I mean, season 4 and 5 are such great seasons. And then you come back in season 11.
Right.
And then, so how did playing Sam evolve for you over the seasons? Like, was there a difference or just already just being older? Is it already just kind of there?
Yeah, I think that, having continued to watch the show, I still kind of knew what was going on. And as I approached a new opportunity to come back, I would go back and make sure I was caught up or, fill in the blanks essentially on what I had missed.
Right.
But it was just really about trying to figure out like where Sam was in the coming weeks before. or the coming, you know, time period before, and figuring out how I could best fit in. I forget if season 11 is where I'm in the bunker with Sam, and he's got the and he's going through withdrawals of demon blood. I think that that was,
well, now spoiler alert. I mean, I got six seasons to get there, but
sorry about that.
That's all right, man. That's okay. The people who listen to this know what you're talking about.
They know. They know. So I think it's just about creating like this in that particular episode, it was just about creating this dynamic of like, I'm adult Sam talking to young Sam, but it's still adult Sam, like words. It's still me speaking to Sam as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt like, yeah, I had to create this intense fear between me and Jared. And that was difficult because he's, you know, an intimidating guy, big, yeah, much bigger than me. And I had to kind of go toe to toe with him. So it was fun.
Oh, wow. Cool. I can't wait to see that now.
Yeah.
Fast forward to season 11, please.
No, sir. Absolutely not. You stay the course. Episode by episode.
It might be earlier than that. It might be like 7 or 9. And 11 might be a different one, but we'll see.
Hold that thought. We're coming right back.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Connell from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer N.C. Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And now back to the episode. And then you get to kick ass in this episode. You get to...
Robbie, what's with the city talk? I mean, Colin Ford is like, he's 8 or 9 in our hearts. Let's not use poo-poo language.
Yeah, so you get to punch somebody down. So what was that? Do you remember that, doing the choreography of the fight?
Yeah, that was really cool because that was one of the first times that I had gotten to do something like that. And so later,
Well, Kay, you were a kid. How many people get to choreograph a fight on TV at 9?
Yeah, like, again, exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly. It didn't come in handy when I later got into my own tussles in school. All those skills went out the window. I was like, "Wait, you're not waiting for my punch to land,
and you're not falling when I'm a foot away in your face."
Yeah, what the heck? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was the first time I'd ever got to do something like that. And it kind of paved the way for what was like the rest of my career. Like every job I feel like I've ever done, there's some sort of altercation, there's some sort of fight that I am a part of. So it was the beginning of the end, I guess.
That's awesome. Great though, man. It's great to have that, to have that experience, you know. You know, a lot of times like with child actors, it could go either way. It can go the way that when you become an adult, you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. But then with people like you, it's, you have a really positive experience and then you grow into a really good actor that has this great film experience. You know, I mean, you know, for me personally, like I didn't get out to LA until after college. So I kind of had to, I was a theater major. So I know all about putting on a show, but I didn't know anything about TV or film. And Rich,
you got a pancake makeup question. Robbie's your guy.
Exactly.
How to stipple on a beard, Rob Benedict.
Yeah. How to make old man makeup.
I think it's tough to transition from being like a young actor to an adult, especially without any sort of clear direction. I just feel lucky that I did start so early because I just had a foundation of like what is normal, what is right, like what I should look out for. And so I had friends that tried to, you know, have asked me or asked me for advice to get in the industry later. You know, I found that the hurdles that they had to jump through were so much more difficult at a later age. So I just felt, you know, happy that I was able to stick with it and not bail out of it like some of my other friends. And, you know, it just, it's just always been something that I've driven and that I've been super excited about. So I've never lost the passion for it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I said, you talked about traveling with your mom a lot. You guys were living in Los Angeles when you got cast in this role?
Yeah, I think so. We moved as a family. My parents were still married at the time. We moved as a family when I was about 10 from Atlanta to Los Angeles. And so I think that whether or not we lived in Atlanta or whether or not we had finalized our move shortly after. And we're out in LA ever since.
We were born and raised in Atlanta previous to Los Angeles.
Technically, I was born in Nashville. My parents are in the middle of a move from Nashville to Atlanta, and mom was finishing up packing up the house and staying till the baby came, and I came like 2 weeks early. So we were supposed to be in Atlanta at that time, but I had other plans. So Nashville, Atlanta, LA.
So you spent about a whopping
exactly. However long they let you stay in the hospital, probably 24 hours.
Okay, great. So tell us about your favorite eateries and night spots in Nashville. Let's go through your.
I was going to say the last.
We had the question, you know, down here. Favorite spots in Nashville. I'm like, I'm not sure that's going to be relevant.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, Baptist Hospital had this great pudding. I don't know.
My favorite place was the crib. Is that a cool bar? No, literally, my crib.
No, I go back to Knoxville quite a bit. That's where my dad lives now, and where my parents met, and where a lot of my extended family is from. So Knoxville is where in Tennessee we go back to.
Well, we acknowledge vocally and passionately on this podcast that almost all people of note and good people are from Tennessee in some way, shape, or form. So, like, for example, I'll just pick up a name. Me, I'm from Nashville.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then you have family in Knoxville. So, obviously, this is a delight to have you here. Rob struggles, you know, but he's an okay guy.
We'll have to get him out to a Tennessee football game.
Yeah, exactly. You got a tailgate in Knoxville there, Robbie.
Yeah. You big Tennessee fan, Rich?
No, not unless you're. I'm a Vanderbilt fan, but I'll support Tennessee once if they're playing outside the league. Like if Tennessee's fighting for some kind of bowl game, I always pull for the SEC. Anybody in the SEC.
As they fight for that bowl game. You're such a football insider, Rich.
Hey, listen, when you're applying pancake makeup to the crow's feet, like how do you keep it from bunching up when you do a crime scene?
That was great. I had a kit and everything. I had like a whole like a makeup kit. It was like a fish tackle box.
The ladies came up too, and they're like, "Hey, we got to fix this. Sorry, we just have to."
Yeah, exactly.
You can't go on stage, sir.
Now, Colin, you do conventions, right? Because you've done a lot of genre TV and film.
Yeah. I think I haven't done one in a while. I'd love to come out and join you guys on one. I know you guys are always out doing them.
You have to. That'd be great. Yeah. Do you? Because I'm sure you know my fans would love to see you. I mean, even hearing your voice, they'll be excited.
I get messages all the time. My grandmother passed away like a month or two ago, and the folks at Creation reached out and wanted to come for me to come out, kind of a last minute thing. They had something going on, but it wasn't because of the unfortunate death and me being with the family just didn't work out timing wise. But I to let them know that I'd love to join them again. And
we'd love to have you.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome.
We'll make sure that we will pass along that message. And when you are doing conventions, out of curiosity, I think this is what Rob was leading to. You must get asked a lot of Sam Winchester questions. I mean, like, you know, even definitely, when you're elsewhere, like you, the broad reach of that show. And even though, by the way, you're a grown man now, you still look like the same kid. I mean, like, you are a grown up version of yourself. A lot of people change beyond recognition. You, not so much. So do people, are you stopped and asked a lot, either on the street or in conventions, about your journey?
Yeah, I think that Supernatural has given me like the biggest scope to meeting new people. And whenever anybody asks me like, oh, you're an actor, like, what have you been in? And I'll rattle off 10 things that, you know, happened over the last 10 years. And they're like, okay. And then I'm like, have you seen Supernatural? And they're like, that's where I've seen you. You're young Sam. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. You know, it's always that I feel like it catches people, that or the We Bought a Zoo thing. And so, yeah, I mean, it just brings me so much joy, and it makes me know that what I'm doing is correct. And these people all support me throughout any project. And like I said earlier, I being a part of the show Daybreak, so many people from Supernatural came over and supported that show. One, because I was in it, I suppose, but two, I think that they thought there was some sort of magical connection between my character, which was Josh, and the young lady in it, played by Sophie Simnett, who plays Sam Dean. And they really thought that because I was in it and her name was Sam Dean, that there was some magical, like, supernatural connection.
Her name was Sam Dean? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Her name was Sam Dean in the show.
There must have been a character named Rob Rich then somewhere in there.
It must be. We had Rob Roy.
Close.
Really close.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. And how was that experience? How was doing that show? Was it fun?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, back to the Dirk to Jerk fight choreography. We had so many like physical things in that show. It was a lot of sword fighting, a lot of fighting with random tools and hands and all kinds of stuff. I had a skateboard as a shield and a weapon. Like, and so I was riding through the apocalyptic Los Angeles, and trying to survive from random adult zombies and fighting gangs of kids in chaos. So it was a really interesting show. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And it was super cool to get to like lead that and try to make it a thing.
That's awesome.
Where can we find that?
It's on Netflix. Okay. It's on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, great. Super.
Well, everybody needs to go check that out for sure, because we can, and we can talk about that now because the writer's strike is over, so we can promote a show.
That's right.
Well, that's awesome, man. Like, again, it warmed my heart to see you reprising the young Sam, if you will, the young Jerry Padalecki and Walker. And you're great in those episodes, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice job. Like, and that's not so, Robbie, I don't know if you've caught him in the show, but like, it's military stuff. Like, it's all in flashback Walker. To being Walker when Walker was in the service. And it's really. Talk about fight. Like, the first thing I saw you do was like a giant fight.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say that. And I actually got to, I had my stunt coordinator on Daybreak. His name was Chad Dashnaw. And
oh, you're kidding me. Chad was the coordinator on Daybreak?
Yeah, on Daybreak. And so when I got to go do Walker, I saw that Chad was a part of the show. And so that was great, you know, getting to walk. Now it feels like wherever I walk on a project, there's always, you know, somebody or a group of people that I know. And that feels really nice. And to get to kind of work on those choreography and those fight scenes, that was a whole other level. Even the stuff I did in Daybreak, we were doing like some jujitsu moves, and I remember my freaking shoulder hurt for like 2 weeks after that. After filming that first Walker episode, I got beat up a little bit, but it was worth it. It was super fun.
Well, I think Chad was able to take out all of his resentment on you, and you know, really,
yeah.
make a brutal fight.
He's like you're not the lead anymore. I can beat you up now.
That's awesome. He's a great guy. He does a great job on Walker. Yeah, that's awesome. It's always refreshing to go somewhere. I mean, obviously you knew Jared already, but then to go and just find yourself, you know, around people you already know, that's awesome.
It makes you comfortable when you walk onto something that's already ongoing, and you're like, well, I don't want to be a disruption. I don't want to cause any problems or any, you know what I mean? I just want to get in and do a good job and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
And I take it that Jensen and Jared were always good to you when you saw them on set?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. And any time that we've ever talked in between working together or not, like it's like no time has passed, and
yeah,
it's great. I mean, it just, those guys have been so supportive of me and what I have going on. So it's been awesome. Hopefully we get a chance to all do something again.
Yeah. Well, you have a special connection, you know, especially with Jared, you know, that you get to play him twice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know.
That's really cool, man.
That's got to be a rare thing in Hollywood, to be on two different shows playing the same actor as a young person. That's awesome.
I know. We got to do it later in life, like when we're, you know, seniors.
Exactly. 100%. Okay. This should continue. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Yeah,
man.
Colin,
people love
thank
hearing
you.
From you, buddy.
Absolutely, guys. It was a pleasure chatting with you guys.
Yeah. And you as well, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And we'll bug creation to get you back on the road.
Yeah, I'd love to join you guys. Let me know. Keep me posted.
For sure. Man.
Awesome, guys.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks.
Hey, this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We are going to take a quick break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Jeffrey D. Morgan again. Welcome back to the podcast.
What a great kid. What a great kid.
And I love that we're calling him a kid. He's a 27-year-old, but he has that baby face.
You and I are well into our 50s now.
100%. To me, he is a kid, but then I stop and think. I'm like, wow.
No, he's a full-grown adult. But, you know, and I kept thinking, and this is a Richard Speight thing to say, but props go out to his parents and his mom. Sounds like a really great mom, and you know, because he really raised a good kid. He's a good kid.
And this industry is not conducive to raising great kids. So good for them for being on the road with him and making sure that he got a normal childhood while also doing some extraordinary work.
Yeah, we said he's got a good soul, and that soul is still kicking, still in there. So good man.
Indeed.
Should we keep this rolling and just go right into mythology? I mean,
yeah,
are we?
Let's do it. You feel like Robbie's feeling crazy. All right, I'll do it, Robbie. All right, you know what it's time for, Rob?
What?
I know you know because you just said it. Mythology.
Ghost possessions. All right, there is a difference between ghost possession and demonic possession.
Go on.
Okay. Demonic possession is done by a demon or evil spirit.
Like yourself.
While ghost possession is done by a vengeful spirit, like yourself, or a soul with unfinished business that hasn't crossed over. The medieval church insisted that possessing spirits, like spirits that possess things, were demons or fallen angels. However, many medieval Italians attributed spirit possessions to ghosts. In particular, the dead who had perished through violence were thought to possess the bodies of the living to re-experience embodiment or to resolve issues in the world of the living. Such beliefs had a long genealogy predating Christianity.
Well done, Robbie.
Thank you.
A 4th-century bishop of Verona, Zeno, defended the belief in ghost possession, saying thusly.
Please have it in an Italian accent.
Okay. This place, the unclean human spirits of either sex, sometimes enter the bodies of the living human beings as a dwelling of places. Such a spirit will confess each sex. It'll confess a time and a place when it entered. It'll confess its proper name and the manner of its death.
Okay, that's all the time.
Especially worry about those who died through violence. You say,
thank you, Zeno.
Demons feign these things. But why? Uh-huh. Why would they adopt feigned names when the confessions are true in all the other ways?
Zeno of Verona, everyone. Zeno of Verona.
Grazie mille. The above excerpt was found in a 2018 published essay by Nancy Mandeville Cacciola, The Wicked and the Damned.
Wow, that is a fantastic mythology research.
Thank you.
And now it's time for fun facts.
Fun facts! Fun facts! Fun facts!
The title of the episode is a reference to a popular anthology series on ABC that ran from 1972 until 1997, typically on weekdays in the late afternoon. It dealt with social issues kids and teenagers were dealing with at the time. Richard Spade Jr. was featured in the 1989 after-school special Torn Between Two Fathers, playing the role of Kenny and both fathers.
And by the way, you know what? I know my lines.
Oh, really?
I know my lines from that. Yeah, I got... That was the first speaking role I had when I was in a resident of Los Angeles, California. I had two lines. You want to know what they were?
Yes.
Hi, Debbie. Next scene. Good work, Deb. It's okay. Like I just played the role. Like, you see how fresh that is emotionally for me?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you think for a second that your name was Debbie? Because I committed, I used you as my, I spotted you, you know?
I did. I know, I felt like Debbie. And I felt like we were in an after-school special, which I often feel like with you. But so you weren't torn between the two fathers. Debbie no, was.
Stop doing drugs, Robbie. I'm worried about you. See? After-school special.
Right. Okay, Torn Between Two Fathers. Find it streaming on your favorite streaming service.
There's good. Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna find that streaming in 4x3 beta tape.
God, what I wouldn't give to have that. Is it out there? Have people resurfaced that your footage?
Dude, you don't need to watch it. Watch. I'll give it to you again.
Okay, gotcha.
Hi, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Good work, Deb.
And is Debbie's line "Stop stalking me"? Richard?
Debbie's line was, "New phone, who dis?" And she's holding a rotary phone.
Well, her two fathers, I'm sure, weren't fans of you.
Well, she was torn, you know? Different movie that you like to watch was called Torn Between Two Daddies. It's a very different movie you like to rent.
Yeah, the pornography version.
Whoa, I didn't say pornography. I just mean it's more of an adult theme. Wow, you really, this whole thing took a nosedive. Weird.
This is Colin Ford's second appearance as Sam Winchester. The first was in A Very Supernatural Christmas,
which was directed by our good friend J. Miller Tobin.
That's right.
Young Sam mentions writing a paper about his family killing a werewolf over the summer. Dean tells Gordon the same story in Bloodlust from season 2.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So the exterior of the high school is the same one used in The Vampire Diaries.
Ah.
That's news to me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles had heavily contributed to Dean's gym teacher costume. He says he based it on a gym teacher from his high school and described the bright red shorts to the costume department. When they came, meaning the shorts, I assume, the costume department then altered the shorts to make them even tighter.
Rich, didn't you dress as that? We get this. Him dressed as the gym teacher is cosplayed a lot at the conventions.
Absolutely. And
didn't you also wear that costume for karaoke?
I wore the exact costume. I wore those shorts
for a year.
For a whole karaoke season with Matt Cohen. Is I don't remember what Matt was dressed as, like a cheerleader or something. And right. We were heading up karaoke with that for years and years, or not for years and years, for months and months, one full year, which was about 20 conventions back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And then I returned the shorts to Jensen on stage in this improv, like very dramatic military-esque send-off where I returned the shorts to their original owner.
Oh, yeah, in dramatic
fashion. I've seen it pop up online every now and then.
Well, how do they fit?
Very tight on Jensen, a little roomier on me. I mean, I'm not, sadly, Jensen is a bigger dude than I am. But they think, they had that sort of like, that rayon, classic rayon feel of the coaches of our youth.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
You had a similar costume you wore in our show, Kings of Con.
That was more of an homage to my old Ernest Goes to Camp days.
Right.
1980s camp shorts.
Yeah, but you're not afraid to show those legs.
No, man, I love to show the gams. Hey, look, it's what got me in the business. It's what keeps me in the business.
That's right.
Just area right above my knee. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. Well, ironically, in episode 2 from season 1, Wendigo, Dean says, I don't do shorts.
I don't do shorts, Sammy.
To study Dean, Brock Kelly watched the pilot and A Very Supernatural Christmas. Well, really, it's 2 episodes. Oh, we didn't kill your afternoon there, Brock. Kidding, Brock's a great guy. And Brock does a great job. He literally sounds like Jensen, and he does a great job.
Oh, my God. When we did, first time I saw Brock was at a convention in Italy, and he was there, and I was like, oh, my God, he's a spitting image.
Yeah. This is a question. And so here's a question before that may not, it may be about a different episode, but is this the episode where he makes a, Jensen or Dean makes a reference to Dead Poets Society?
Yes.
Makes a Robin Williams joke?
Yes. Yeah, he says carpe diem or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I made a mental note. I didn't use actual notes like Rob does, but I made a mental note to bring that up only because I love that they referenced that movie. And in the world of trivia and fun facts, that movie was written by a man named Dead Poets Society, written by a man named Tom Schulman,
okay,
who wrote the story of John Keating, played by Robin Williams, based on his experience in high school, which was school. Montgomeryville Academy, my high school, and a teacher he had named Sam Pickering. So there's a statue of Tom Schulman and Sam Pickering on the campus of my high school.
Okay.
As an homage to Tom Schulman's later writing of Dead Poets Society, for which he won an Oscar, again, Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, wow.
Associated that's a, with respect. Rob, that's a, go ahead that's and tell a me re- your story
that's
about
that's a re- that's a reach. It's like they said the name Michael, and Michael starts with an M. Missouri also starts with an M, and that's where I'm from. Like that, I mean, that's a long
and,
a
and J.
Skip.
Jensen's name starts with a J, and you're jealous, and that also starts with a J.
All right, and you're a jerk, and that's why we have this much in common. Hey, it's great to be back.
I'm still just, I've got to be honest, I'm really jealous of the costume department. I just circle back to that. Ooh, mercy. Yeah, it's good to be back, Robbie. You're not wrong. We are back, and we're proud. This is, you know, it's been a fight, a slog. Well, the SAG hasn't resolved its issues, but the WGA has in fine form and fine fashion, and apparently getting the majority of what it wanted to get to feel respected and properly represented and compensated. So that's awesome. So it's been a success. You know what I mean, Rob?
Yeah, it's you know, so far. I mean, I'm still cautiously optimistic. We still need to finish up the actor strike, but
yep, actors are still striking.
Yeah, but yeah, it's definitely a step in the right direction. So it's good. Most importantly, to what we're doing now, it's just nice to be back doing the podcast again.
Nice to be back doing the podcast. And we've been on the road, and a lot of people have said, "Hey, when
are you
going to
do that?"
Back?
Yeah.
Well, to them, I say now. Back.
Mm-hmm. And we've gotten a lot of people come up to us on the road and say how much they're enjoying this and asking us to please keep doing it. And
they want us to keep doing it, and they want to be sure that they ask me, like, is there any Dead Poets Society tie-ins you guys can do? Well, I think we deliver the goods today.
Yeah, that's right. We certainly did. And to those people, I say thank you. Thank you for listening, and we certainly will keep doing it and making random Nashville mentions. as well as talking about horny costume departments.
All right, listen, everybody. Right. Great to be back. Great to have you with us. And onwards and upwards. Here we go. More
that's
coming.
Right. All right. This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester and Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester.
Guest stars include Colin Ford, Brock Kelly, Candace King, Chad Willett, Tim Henry, Kanan Wiebe, and Casey Dubois.
After School Special was written by Andrew Dabb and Daniel Laughlin and directed by Adam Kane.
Editing by Tom McQuaid. Music by Jay Gruska.
Executive produced by Eric Kripke and Robert Singer.
The original broadcast of this episode featured the following song, Long, Long Way From Home by Foreigner.
The episode originally aired on January 29th, 2009.
This episode is dedicated to the memory of Christopher F. Lima, who was a rigging electrician, and Tim Luke, who's an online editor.
This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict.
Produced by Stephen Hine, written by Stephen Hine and Haida Holscher.
And edited and associate produced by Trey Booty.
What's up, Booty? Welcome back!
Music provided by Tim Wynn.
The episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media.
Follow the podcast on Instagram and whatever the hell they're calling Twitter these days at SPN Then and Now.
Become a member of the podcast at www.patreon.com/SPN Then and Now.
Mm-hmm.
To study Dean, Brock Kelly bought a supernatural calendar and flipped through the months looking at dreamy images of Jensen, Great Pacall's cars from various eras.
Wait, what?
With open shirts.
That's not what this says.
Nope, but that's what he started on. Did you think the same thing I thought when you read that?
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, the way he described bright red shorts to the costume department. When they came, the costume department then altered the shorts.
Oh, mercy.
Well, what a good kid, right?
Man, such a classy kid. Classy kid, meaning 27-year-old grown man. He still has a boy face. You know, it's funny to see him.
Do we all ever want? Do we want ever want to like keep recording and have this be in the podcast? No. They were kind of naturally doing the.
Rob, hey, do you ever think about wanting to keep recording? Is that?
Because you were very naturally, you know. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just a natural. I mean, I could read your line here. That was marvelous. Okay.
Storybell Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.